If a stranger said to you, hey, I need a hug right now, would you hug them? There's this Reddit thread that asked that, and I'm like reading all the comments, and I find it fascinating.
If somebody is bold enough to ask me for a hug, then I suppose I should be bold enough to hug them, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm being honest. The first thing I'm going to look at is a little bit of basic hygiene.
Okay.
And what do they smell like? I've got certain smells that if you've got that smell on you, then I'm probably not going to hug you. On the other hand, if you're just a person who looks like you're in need, could use a little support, whether you're happy or sad, and you ask me for a hug, I think I'll hug you. Yeah.
Okay. Producer Sean, would you hug a stranger if they asked for a hug and they said they needed one?
Yes, I would. Same with Raven. Kind of observe the hygiene.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Make sure, you know, there's nothing in their pockets they're going to try to poke me with when I hug them. But
okay.
Yeah.
Right.
I'd give a stranger a hug. I think we need a little more compassion in this world.
Pat them down first.
Yeah. Right?
Law enforcement way. Up against the wall. I'll consider hugging you right now, but if you spread them, I'm going to pat you down real quick here first.
I like that he immediately assumes that they have a weapon. Yeah.
You never know.
You know what, man? That's why they always ask, right? You got something, anything in your pockets that's going to stick me? I mean, it's a fair question.
One time we were on a casino boat, and there was this girl. I shouldn't say a girl. There was a grown, drunk woman sitting next to my husband, Paul, and I was sitting on the opposite side, right? And she kept laughing at all his jokes. And you know my husband Paul's joke. They're not good. You know, they're not funny. And then all of a sudden she leaned over and she goes, hey, can I get a hug to Paul? And Paul said, all right. And he hugged her. And I was sitting there and I was horrified by the whole situation. I was like, what is happening right now?
Mm. So that's the point that I would bring up is like, how old is the person who's asking me right now?
Anybody. It could be any age, John.
But that's the X factor for me. If it's a person my age, it's a maybe. If it's an old person, sure. I mean, it's an old person. If it's a child, absolutely not.
Well,
the answer is
100%.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, the
fact that you're saying it was not a girl, but in fact, a drunk woman.
Yes.
That makes the X factor.
So you would
right
also
there.
Hug her then, as long as she wasn't under 17.
If she was significantly older than me, where I know she's not going to try anything weird, yes, she absolutely gets a hug.
How do you know a grandmother doesn't have a dagger? Like, come on. I mean, how do you know?
It's a dark world you live in where you assume grandmas have daggers, Raven.
Watch a cable show. All I'm saying is, it's like people do crazy stuff.
I used to have this this thing where I never hugged anybody. I didn't like hugging. With the exception of my kids and my husband, I wasn't a hugger. Lately, I don't know what it comes up to me, but like if somebody recognizes me on the street, they're like, oh my God, are you Anna Zapp? The first thing I say is, can I get a hug? It's the first thing I say.
You're like, just tired.
Why do they? And then I'm like, what if they don't want to hug me? And now I'm immediately offering
now
a
you're
hug.
That's presumptuous. Right.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, I would have loved even more, instead of asking for the hug, you're just like, hey, and you put your arms open waiting for a hug.
Yeah, you don't even answer the question. They don't even actually know if it's you. Yeah.
And then I just take a little nap on their shoulder.
I like the idea of you just hugging strangers like, you know, like a heavyweight bout where they're boxing.
Mm.
People are tired out by round three. You just kind of carry each other around the circle.
I don't know. If a stranger asked you to hug them, would you do it?
That's all I need to know about you.
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 What's that thing that drives you crazy? Feels good when you get it off your chest, right? You can call or text 1-800-330-9999. Raven, if you steal anything, that's all I need to know about you. But if you steal 20 of these, it is certainly all I need to know about you, because you're a weirdo and I don't understand why you would possibly do this to a business.
I'm intrigued. What happened?
So a burglar in Miami was caught on camera robbing a shoe store. Here's the owner talking about what he took.
The most messed up thing about it is that they took a bunch of left shoes. Just come forward and drop off the shoes. Just leave them here. I don't need to turn them over to the cops. I don't care about that. I pray that God put some sense into them and they just do the right thing at least.
They stole all the left shoes. They only stole the left shoes.
They got into the display wall, or did they get the boxes, and then they got the boxes of the ones that are on the display wall?
I bet they thought
they were making a quick getaway at one time.
No, I like to think that this
it's
moron,
like a prank.
Yeah, just stole left shoes. I want to think that like he was like, you know what? I'm just going to steal all the left shoes.
You know, you put out a plea to appeal to their good nature and say, listen, you know, I pray to God, just, you know, bring them back. I won't call anybody or anything. Maybe do a trade, right? Listen, you bring me back 20 left shoes. I'll let you keep two of them. I'll give you two right shoes to go with those left shoes.
Not a bad negotiation.
You know what I mean?
Not terrible.
Let's cut this deal. Let's get this thing over.
Mm.
Anna, if you still believe that bounce houses are harmless fun and not an actually airborne trap to leave you in trauma in a hospital, that's all I need to know about you. I mean, I don't know how many of these videos we have to see. This time it's from North Carolina. A bounce house starts taking off from the yard in 10 mile per hour winds and like goes over somebody's house.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, who knew that every time you go into a bounce house, it's not just the actual fun of bouncing in the house. It's kind of like jumping out of a plane or bungee jumping. Like, you know that you're putting your life in peril at that moment, and hence, there's the excitement.
Well, as a parent, I will say that I do have one of those bounce houses at my house. I have like a smaller one.
Uh-huh.
And every time I take it out and set it up outside, it's such a pain, right?
Yeah.
And I look at those ground stakes and I think, oh, right. Is this really necessary?
Oh, it's so rocky here. I can't get the mallet.
So, like, I lick my finger. I put it up in the air. I'm like, there's no wind. Like, she's fine in there.
Oh, my
gosh. She's fine. Then you watch the video and you're like, next time, I swear. Next time, I'm going to do it.
It's terrible. God, there was no kids in this one, but it's terrifying when you see it.
It's Anna and Raven. That's all I need to know about you.
All right. If I see you at the airport and you're coming up with a motorized suitcase, that's all I need to know about you.
Are they becoming a thing?
Becoming a thing. Did you see that story about the cop chasing somebody with a motorized scooter through the Orlando airport?
Protect and serve, bro. I appreciate you. Thank you for doing the work that you're doing. I know it's a dangerous game out there. I don't want these things flying on airplanes. I mean, hoverboards were exploding before, you remember?
Yeah.
This is somebody putting a motor in a suitcase. I've seen these before when they make it a cooler. Mm. Also a bad idea.
Oh my gosh, I just Googled to see how much they are. They're expensive. There's one here for $900. Another one here is for $3,200. Like, just drag your luggage like everybody else.
Grab the sky cap. $20 to that guy, you're going to get there.
Oh, my. This is crazy. I have this Facebook group. It's called Anna's Parenting Group. I very rarely go on it anymore, but it's a nice small group that basically it's non-judgmental. If you have an issue with your kids or your family, you can post there, and we kind of small community talk about it. If you want to join, you're more than welcome to.
Sure.
Anna's Parenting Group on Facebook. But a message popped up the other day, and like everybody was talking about it, and everybody was trying to give the guy advice. And I was like, you know what? I should read this on the air, and I should see what people think about it, because it bothered me, and it stuck with me.
Do it.
Okay. How do you choose between family and family? My wife and my sister hate each other. It got to a screaming match back in August. I love them both. My sister recently told me in private that she refuses to have her kids around my wife, as she thinks my wife is a toxic person and doesn't want to have her kids around someone like that. My nephew's birthday is coming up next month. I'm invited. My son is invited. My wife is not. What do I do?
Wow.
Do I just go, just me and my son, or do I stand up for my wife and alienate my sister and her kids, who my son loves playing with? And as somebody who, like, my daughter is so close with her cousins, I can't imagine having to take that away from her. Like, oh my gosh.
It's a really difficult situation. When people draw lines and then you have to make choices like that. I mean, it's a terrible situation to put anybody in.
Yeah.
On the other hand, if you're a parent and you feel like there's somebody toxic in your kid's life, you want to kind of remove that. But is it, you know, the toxicity of that person, or is it your reaction to that person? Are you just, you know, oil and water? Sometimes that's how it is, right? Sometimes two people don't get along, and it's easy to gaslight somebody and label the other person as the toxic person than to actually both have to act like adults.
So what do you do in this situation? It's your sister and your wife, and you have to choose between, like, what are you supposed to do? So I'm like, look, so I'm kind of torn about it.
Okay.
And I'm looking at, like, all the comments, because I'm, like, trying to figure, I'm like, well, what does everybody else think?
Right. Let me crowdsource this, basically.
Yeah. So Maria wrote, you and your wife became one when you said your vows. Send a gift for your nephew, but don't attend the party. Now, like, that breaks my heart, but, like, my mom always said, like, when you get married, that's it. Like, that's who you chose to spend your life with. Like, that is it. So, like, part of me is like, you have to ask your wife, what does she want you to do? And whatever she says kind of reigns supreme.
Yeah. A lot of times your spouse will be like, I want you to do what it is that you think is right, which makes that difficult again, right, to figure that out.
Melody wrote, let your wife have the day off. Let her go get a massage and lunch with friends. She gets an afternoon off while you go visit with your family.
I don't know.
See?
Man.
Like, you don't know. It's like, yeah. I read this and I was like, oh. And then I was like happy that everybody was putting input in. But then I was like, this poor guy. Like, it just stuck with me, because I'm like, what do you do when you're in a situation like this?
There's no way for him to win. This is a lose-lose situation. No matter what, somebody ends up upset. Mm. So you're looking for the best thing. You know, the problem, again, with family is that you say to yourself, well, we'll just skip this time. But then that turns into next time, too. And it turns into the next time and the next time.
Well, it sets a precedent.
Yes.
Like, whatever you do this time is what you're going to have to do going forward.
Yes. I think you might be right.
We have a parenting page. It's Anna's parenting group on Facebook and got this message. How do you choose between family and family? My wife and my sister hate each other. It got to a screaming match back in August. I love them both. But my sister recently told me in private that she refuses to have her kids around my wife. She thinks she's toxic and she doesn't want to have her kids around someone like that. My nephew's birthday party is next month. I'm invited. My son is invited. My wife is not. What do I do? It's a tough situation to be put in. What would you do? 1-800-330-9999. Anna and Raven?
I'm in the same situation. But once you set that precedent not to attend, you would have to keep going in that way.
Right.
My sister put me in a bad position. So it's a matter of now it's like we don't get invited to her house anymore.
And it's sad.
It's tough. Sometimes you feel like there's a middle ground, that there's certainly room for a compromise or something at some points. But if somebody puts you in a tough spot and they're unwilling to move, then you're stuck, right? I mean, you're stuck.
And on Raven, what would you do?
I feel like an expert with this because this happens with my family all the time. I think the husband should say, go with the wife. It's going to be an issue. It's really going to be a...
I'm sorry. So let me just clarify here. You think that the husband should take the wife to the party, that everybody should go to the party, or I want to make sure I understand.
No, stay home. Sorry.
Yeah, just kind of write them off. I mean, it sounds terrible when you say it out loud, but it's the truth.
I mean, so you're writing off.
It's going to cause a lot of issues.
Your sister, your niece, and your nephews. You know, my question is, where's the mom? Mm. Where's the mom and the dad of this grown sister and brother? Because the mom should regulate. And just say, listen, you guys are going to have to deal with this. We're all family.
But not all families are like that, Raven. Not all families are like our families. We're our parents, even though, you know, they still tell us what to do, you know, even though we're in our 40s. That's how it is.
I wish every branch of my family was that way, but it's not either.
Yeah, thank you. Anna and Raven, what would you do in this situation?
I think I would go because I wouldn't. It's one thing if it was just the wife or the sister that didn't get along, but it's not fair to the kid who's out on his cousin. And I would never take a child away from their family. But the other person said about a day off for the wife and have her go to a spa or hang out with her friends or whatever, something special for her. But the child should still get to see his family.
The problem I have with that is you're using the kids as a pawn. The sister is using the kids as a chess piece in this case. Mm. Come to my party if you want, but don't bring your wife.
Yeah, that's not fair.
She's making you make the choice. I mean, that's not right.
Yeah.
And Ann Raven, what should this guy do?
I personally think that for the big events, it's okay to go to your family and, like, take your son to the party. But if it becomes more and more of a gap and your wife is really not okay with you going, then you got to stick by your wife. But if you can kind of come to a compromise where just the two of them can go and your wife can stay apart from your sister, I think that's okay because, honestly, families are a weird dynamic and not everybody's going to get along with everybody all the time. I love my sister, but I don't get along with her all the time.
It's Anna and Raven. What do you think? What would you do in this situation?
Oh, I think he's got to have a sit down with his sister and lay down the law. Like, this is ridiculous. Like, if they're married, like, it's not up to the sister to call any shots. Like, they're a family. So she has to accept it. This calling of someone a toxic person, like, who does that? Is someone in your own family? I think the sister's at fault here and just has to deal with it.
Did you know that Celine Dion won Eurovision twice?
I did not know that, but Canada was bringing it with Celine Dion. I mean, it amazes me that they sent her instead of Bryan Adams, who was cutting it like a knife all those years ago.
Do you know that ABBA was discovered on Eurovision?
I did not know that.
This is fascinating. All right, so
it's crazy.
Song Contest premiered last night on NBC, and it's like the American version of Eurovision. The reason why it took us so long to do it took 25 years to get the rights for America to do this.
That's wild.
Isn't that crazy?
So Eurovision, like, it's a contest that was developed after World War II. Too, right? Mm-hmm. Like, basically?
Yeah.
For unity in Europe.
Exactly. So now, after watching it last night, it's clear that producer John is going to have to write random songs about states. It's the only thing we can do that
makes
sense.
We're going to have to do it all the time.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yep. All right. So this new show that's on NBC is hosted by Snoop Dogg and Kelly Clarkson. Here they are talking about what it is.
I'm born and bred California, straight up out the east side of LBC.
Y'all, I'm a Texas girl at heart, and we go big or we go home. And every musician in this country feels the same way about where they come from.
And that's what this competition is all about.
All right, so now it's all 50 states plus the territories. Everybody has an artist representing them.
Okay.
So you represent your state or your territory. And some of them are like famous musicians we know, like Macy Gray is from Ohio, Jewel is from Alaska, Cisco is from Maryland, and then I was disappointed when I found out that Cisco wasn't going to sing the thong song.
Wait a minute, they sent Cisco?
They sent Cisco.
After all these years.
Yeah. Gotta be somebody better in Maryland. Gotta be at least one person who's played songs better.
Not for nothing.
I'm not gonna make it better or worse, but I mean, seriously, there was nobody else just more valid at the moment?
I'm gonna make it better or worse.
All right.
Michael Bolton from Connecticut. So,
God love him.
I was watching this last night. And a lot of these lesser known artists that are representing the other states,
sure.
Like they brought it. This is Alexa from Oklahoma.
That's pretty good for a song you never heard before.
Right.
Right? That's cool.
Yeah, so they're all new songs that they wrote to represent their state.
So wait a minute. So even the people that are like big performers, like Michael Bolton or whatever, it's a new song.
Yeah, so speaking of Michael Bolton, he was up last night and he sang this song.
Okay. These all uplifting songs here, too. Like, I know that that's the theme at Eurovision.
We gotta rise like we've never been burned.
I love it. Ooh. Right. Yeah, but then Puerto Rico showed up, and they took the house down with this.
All right. Loco, I'll drive you crazy like loco. You lose
it cuando te toco. And I can prove it tonight. I thought for sure.
Book your vacations now.
Yeah, I thought for sure that Snoop Dogg was going to have a heart attack during that. He was getting down so hard. So what we've done is we've taken our old prize wheel. We've put all the U.S. states and territories on it. We're going to spin this wheel. Then producer John, who has his guitar like he always does, he has, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes to go write a song for whatever state it lands on. And it has to be about the state.
Let me clarify here. Did you see Guam on the show yesterday? Because Anna was very excited to put the territories
on
the list today.
I meant
she was
to
like,
Google
is
it.
Guam a territory? Is Guam? Shh. So it's on there.
I just wasn't sure. I wasn't sure.
All right, spin it anyways. Let's find out.
<right?
laughs> I can't wait to see if he writes a song about Guam.
What state?
Looks like Indiana.
All right. Producer John, go write a song about Indiana.
Do it.
Go. It's coming up next. Great news. I was right. Guam is part of the U.S. It is a territory.
Well, okay.
And Jason Jay will be representing Guam on NBC's American Song Contest.
I mean, what a crazy life for Kelly Clarkson, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, American Idol all those years ago, all these awards, all these album sales, talk shows. Now she's hosting a show with Snoop Dogg. Snoop Dogg would have been a mentor on American Idol all those years ago.
I know.
Like, what a wild ride, right?
Yeah.
And she deserves every bit of it.
So, American Song Contest premiered last night on NBC. And if you're not, like, don't know why it's such a big deal, it's because over in Europe, they have this thing called Eurovision Song Contest. And it's massive. It's, like, bigger than American Idol ever was here in America.
Right.
And, like, major artists have come out. And how it works is that each state and territory has one artist that represents it, but it's not like American Idol. A lot of them are lesser known, but many of them are Grammy winners. Plus, you have like Michael Bolton, Macy Gray, Cisco.
Those would be Grammy winners. Right.
Jewel.
Those would be established
like
artists. Right.
Like right, representing yes. each state, and each state has to write a song, and like that's the song, and you choose what's going to be the greatest song in the U.S.
So even if it's an established artist from one of these different states, it's a new original song. So we
right.
thought it would be a good idea to represent all the states and territories on our prize wheel here in the studio.
Yeah.
We gave it a spin, and much to Anna's chagrin, we did not come up with Guam.
No.
It was Indiana that actually was our first winner right there.
So producer John has only had a few minutes to write a song about Indiana. Now, what did you do? Did you just like Wikipedia Indiana?
That's exactly what I did.
Yes.
I Google searched Indiana, and that's just whatever. Literally, the first thing that popped up is what's Indiana famous for? This entire song is written about those five bullet points.
All right. You're going to be our Eurovision / American Song Contest star. We're ready to hear your song about Indiana.
All right. Let's see. This one's called Holler at the Hoosiers.
Okay.
Gotta holler at the Hoosiers, the opposite of a loser. Because in the state of Indiana, the claim to fame is corn and the University of Notre Dame. Because the Hoosiers, they know how to drive. The Indy 500 makes you feel alive. It doesn't matter what state you're in. The place you want to be is N-I-N with the Hoosiers.
me for 6 minutes.
I really wanted it to be
7 minutes
longer because it was really good.
You are always telling me to make my song shorter, Anna Zapp.
I know, but that one was like, I was really, really into that one. I was ready for verse two.
Yeah, I'm so bad at geography. I got to go back and fact check like three things he said in the song. But
I mean, listen, if I have 12 minutes, you can have a second verse.
Well, I think you're doing a great job. Great job. I think if we had to select anybody to be on American Song Contest, you would represent the Anna and Raven Show, our territory.
Woo!
Great job.
And college basketball's biggest night is underway.
There can be only one champion. And now we join Anna and Raven's coverage of the March Madness Tournament.
While some people are obsessed with basketball right now, not around here. It's March Madness when we're looking to crown the biggest fad of all time. If you want to see the complete bracket, you can head to annaandraven.com. We're already seeing some big upsets, Raven.
Yeah, that's for sure.
We had the Sweet 16. We're narrowing it down right now to the Elite Eight. The winners so far, Hacky Sack, Pokemon Go, Ty Bo, Macarena, Cabbage Patch Kids.
I mean, who knows who's going to end up on top? I've got some favorites out there, but we don't know. And another couple great competitors today, Anna.
Yeah, let's start with today's big decision. And remember, you can vote by calling 1-800-330-9999. Or you can also text your vote to the same number. Up first, the South Beach Diet.
I'm Naomi, and I was born on South Beach. If you want to know how I stay in shape, I do it with the South Beach Diet.
My name is Scott, and I lost 24 pounds on the South Beach Diet.
Lose weight fast with the brand new South Beach Diet.
Now, I got to be clear here. I don't know anything about the South Beach Diet, but I love diet commercials that feature 110-pound surfer girls.
Yes.
Those are the best, right? Want to know how I stay in shape? I just don't eat.
I'm 23.
Right. That's how I do it. I'm 23 and I'm just blessed by the sun.
Diet Coke.
Here we go.
Diet Coke and cigarettes. That's how I do it.
And then they always have like the married guy after that who starved himself for 2 weeks, gave up soda and beer, and lost 14 pounds. And he's always running through the surf with his family. He's like dragging his kids with reckless abandon. Yeah. No kids are that thrilled to be running on the beach with their dad, by the way.
Now, how Raven doesn't know much about diets, I'm the opposite. I know everything about diets.
Every diet. So what is the South
Beach
diet?
I've been on every diet that's ever existed in the history of mankind.
Right.
Including the South Beach Diet. South Beach Diet, in my mind, was always very similar to the Atkins Diet, where it was basically limiting your carbs to nothing. But there was different phases. And phase one, which I never succeeded at and never got past, is when you like basically completely eliminate all the carbs and you try to like break the habit of your body having sugars.
For 2 weeks.
For 2 weeks.
For two, and you could never get through the two
Forget
weeks.
Forget it. I would die. It would be day three. I'd be like, I can't. I'm dying.
Crawling on the floor.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, but I can't. South Beach Diet has almost been around for 20 years. How about that for a reality
check? Wow, that's wild, huh?
Yeah. But what fad could possibly beat the South Beach Diet? None other than Beanie Babies.
Oh, boy.
Beanie Babies are here to stay. Beanie Babies are here to stay.
Beanie Babies.
There's not much to that song, is
Newsflash.
There?
Newsflash. Beanie Babies were not here to stay. Although some people would argue, myself included, that they're going to make a resurgence and all those Beanie Babies I have in my closet are going to be worth millions of dollars one day, especially the Princess Diana one, which you know I hold near and dear to my heart.
I mean, there's probably a mouse up there making a lovely bed in that box full of Beanie Babies right now.
No, I still take them out so the kids can play with them. Not the ones that are going to be worth money in my eyes, but the ones that I don't think are be worth a lot of money, I let them play with them. Sure, maybe you're watching all that basketball, but around here, looking to crown the biggest fad of all time, and you decide. You can see the full bracket at annonraven.com, all 16 of the contenders, and we've already seen some big upsets. We saw Hacky Sack take down the Rachel haircut. Nobody saw that coming.
Yeah, that was a surprise.
Yeah, Pokemon Go took down Fireball. I thought Raven was going to have a heart attack.
I was very upset. I called my buddy Pitbull. He said, don't worry, buddy. I'll still send you a bottle.
Cabbage Patch Kids taking down Thigh Master. The Macarena taking down Juicy Couture. I mean, I still have my Juicy sweatsuits in case they come back.
Well, there are big competitors waiting in the Elite Eight. The question is, who's going to make it there?
Exactly. Now, today's matchup, as voted by you, is it going to be Beanie Babies or the South Beach Diet? Which was the bigger fad? 1-800-330-9999.
Beanie Babies. I was so obsessed with Beanie Babies. I gave them away, but I kept a few.
The ones that are going to be worth money, of course.
Right. While we were preparing for this today, I was just watching an article. I was watching it on YouTube, a report about how people from America were flying to London, ignoring all the tourist spots. Nobody was actually there to see Big Ben or to see Parliament or anything like that. They were just there to go to the Beanie Baby store.
Yeah, that's where they were at. London. That's where we had to go to get them. Anna and Raven, what's it going to be? Beanie Babies or the South Beach Diet?
Beanie Babies for sure. They're so cute.
And do you still have a stash of them somewhere in your house right now that you believe is going to be worth $1 million someday? Because I know somebody who does.
Yeah, like me and like 50,000 other people, which means they won't be worth anything. But yes, I do.
Just keep them in pristine shape. Just, you know what? Just keep on believing and hold on, because one day our grandchildren are going to be living in laps of luxury because of our smart decisions that we make now with our Beanie Babies.
I'm sure.
Exactly.
Anna and Raven, Beanie Babies or South Beach Diet? What's making it to the Elite Eight?
Beanie Babies all the way. I was all about those. I had so many of them, and they are not worth anything anymore.
Don't give up hope. You cannot give up hope. That's the problem.
I mean, they got to be like flammable in your attic at this point. All right, guys? Mm. Give up hope. Get rid of them.
Anna and Raven, what's it going to be, Beanie Babies or South Beach Diet?
You know, diets come and go, and that was a big one, but I got to go with Beanie Babies because everything is coming back. Every fad is coming back. In the 90s, you know, as soon as, you know, we'll go further in this decade, it'll be all about the 90s again, and all those worthless Beanie Babies are going to be worth money again. Sell them while they're hot.
Sell them while they're hot.
They told us that the hottest Anna's Beanie Baby would ever be is around every year, annually, the anniversary of Princess Diana's death.
Yes.
I mean, it's a morbid, terrible fact.
Well.
But that's what they told us.
But it depends on how much it goes up and whether. I'm never going to sell it. I'm not going to sell it until I can get $20,000.
They're going to have to bury you with it.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Biggest fat of all time. You think it's going to be Beanie Babies or the South Beach Diet?
Oh, South Beach Diet for sure.
You know, what could you even eat on the South Beach Diet besides anything Cuban, right?
It's not how it worked. That's not how it worked.
How did it work?
Carbs. It was limiting the carbs to the kind of carbs that you could eat.
Mm-hmm.
It was very similar to like all the other diets where you couldn't have carbs, but it had South Beach on it, so everybody was wearing bathing suits.
Listen,
in the ads.
If you've never had a Cuban coffee, all you need is a shot of Cuban coffee. You're not going to eat for like 4 hours because you are so jacked up.
Maybe so, but by a landslide, Beanie Babies defeat South Beach Diet.
From a lack of a filter to unhinged lunacy, we ask you, the people, is Anna Zapp out of line?
This is where you get to judge me. And I don't know. Maybe I am wrong in this situation, but what do you think? 1-800-330-9999. I want to stop cooking dinner at my house. I hate it. So I cook 4 nights a week at my home. You get home from work and like a lot of other like full-time working moms, like you got to kind of juggle everything with the kids and the who's got practice, who's got dance, who's got this, who's got that. And I make dinner. But when I blew out my knee and I had to have surgery, I couldn't cook for a while. So Paul and Hayden, my older daughter, she's 13 now, and my husband, they magically figured it out. Like they figured out how to make dinner every night. They didn't starve to death like I had been led to believe all these years would happen. And during that time, although I did not like being immobile on the couch, I did like not cooking.
I bet.
So I have come up with reasons why I no longer want to cook dinner. One, I hate it. Two,
right.
I hate cleaning up after Paul. I hate cleaning up like afterwards, like having to wash all the dishes and put everything away. And Paul helps. I will say that he does help with that. But I still hate it. I hate looking at the kitchen and knowing that it's 8 o'clock and I want to go to bed and I still have to clean everything.
Okay.
Okay. Hayden and Dakota, my kids, never cook what I eat. Are you keeping track of all this, Raven?
I'm writing some things down right now. Okay. All right. I've got one. I've got two.
Dakota's my 3-year-old. She eats nothing. She eats absolutely nothing. So I've even stopped cooking for her. I give her a bananas and mini muffins. That's her dinner for most nights. Or I give her a thing of Lucky Charms and she just eats the marshmallows out of it. I know it's terrible parenting. I have given up. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the biggest thing. I'm not even hungry at night. So by the time I get home, I make myself a giant lunch at like 3:30 in the afternoon. I'm not hungry. If I eat at night, it's only because I've cooked the food and it's in front of me. If I just stop eating at night, I could save like 600, 800 calories. I'm going to be so fit. I'm going to be like a Victoria's Secret model. I'm going to be perfect.
That will happen immediately. I mean,
well, it'll take a few weeks, but I'm thinking maybe 3 weeks I'll be perfect at that point.
I mean, so are maybe those longer. Your top four? So just to recap here.
Oh my gosh,
there's more?
Oh, I have one other reason.
Okay, go ahead.
I offered to split the days with my husband and my older daughter, Hayden. I said, I'll cook 2 days, each of you pick up one day and make it easier, and they flat out refused. So I think that I should not have to cook dinner. Everybody's on their own at night except for Dakota, the little one, because she, you know, she needs somebody to peel the banana for her.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So just to recap here. So, I mean, your top five reasons, the first three of which are hate.
Hate.
The first one is you just hate it.
I hate cooking.
That's right. Yeah. The second one is you hate to clean up after it.
Yeah.
Or during it. Or whatever that hate process. Yeah. The third one is the kids hate what you eat.
Always.
What you make.
Never like it.
For them, right. So the first three are hate, hate, and hate.
Right. And even if I make it as best as I can, they'll still complain that they don't like it.
Okay. And then you're not actually eating is number four. And number five is just the fact that, you know, you think that there should be a split of the duties.
Yes.
I don't think that that's the worst thing ever, to tell you the truth. I mean, it's like one person cooks, one person cleans. But if you've lost the luster to cook, again, you know, splitting the duties, that could be anything. As you said, they fed themselves.
They figured it out.
Yes.
Yeah.
They ate.
I'm just not good at it either. So am I out of line? Because my husband looked at me like I was crazy when I said,
I won't stand for this.
Well, I was like,
he said, no wife of mine.
I said, no, you make me a list of what you want at the grocery store. I'll go get it for you at the beginning of the week like I always do.
Uh-huh.
And then you just make it yourself every night. Make whatever you want. Just for you.
You tried to make it sound like he was winning.
Yeah. I go, you can have anything you want every single night. I'm just not going to cook it. Am I out of line because I don't want to cook dinner anymore? I don't want to cook anymore. Is that bad? Like at dinner time. My husband, I think, is a good cook. I mean, I don't care what he puts on a plate. As long as I didn't have to put it there and he did it, like, good.
Would he have to be a good cook if he's just willing to do it?
No, he actually really is pretty good because he follows recipes for real.
Okay.
Where I'm so lazy and tired by the time.
You just throw the stuff in there.
I half pay attention.
Right.
I don't put the right things in. So I said to my family, I had knee surgery. So like there was a period of 4 weeks where I could not get up off the couch. So like I couldn't cook. And they did it. They survived on their own.
Amazing.
I was shocked.
They even fed you.
Oh my God. And it was delicious. And I said to them, mommy doesn't want to cook anymore. It takes a lot of time. I don't really enjoy it. And you guys are really good at it. And they looked at me like I had grown a second head. They're like, no, you're going to cook dinner. Am I out of line? Because I'm serious. Like, I'm done. Everybody's kind of on their own at this point. 1-800-330-9999. Am I out of line?
Nope. I agree with her. I haven't cooked in years. I always hated it. Cooked when my daughter was little. They don't starve to death. I cook once a year.
Once a
and
year.
And that's St. Patrick's Day. I make a corned beef. That's it.
Let me
husband
just,
does the cooking.
Let me ask you a real question, right? Because I like corned beef, but let me ask you a real question here. If you cook once a year,
sure.
Can you actually still say you're still good at it?
Well, she makes one good thing, great.
I mean, can you say you're
good? Yeah.
Okay. All right. You're willing to stand on
that?
I make
corned beef and cabbage with the potatoes and everything.
I'm so good
that's
at it.
And they all salivate. They wait. They go, can you cook it again? I'm like, no.
Well, you know, I mean, I try it, but, you know, I have to wait till next March 17th to do it.
Am I out of line? What do you think?
I don't think you're out of line at all. I'm the same way. My wife and I are exactly the same. There's times where we don't even feel like cooking. We'll get takeout.
I would happily eat a bowl of cereal at night if
no
I was
problem.
Hungry. And, like, that would make me happy. My husband's not that guy. My husband is the meat, potatoes, the starch. Like, he needs all of that. The vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he needs, like, a real dinner.
He's too tall. You married too tall of a guy. He needs to be filled up with protein. You should have just, you know, if you had a guy average height, you would have been better off. You know?
Am I out of line? What do you think?
Absolutely not. I don't think you're out of line at all. You've done it. You've put it out. You put the meals out. If people got opinions, they can make their own meals, as far as I'm concerned, you know?
The only issue is that my husband doesn't really complain. He always eats it. And I'll be honest, I am a terrible cook. So, like, a lot of times when I try to experiment with new things, it's not great. But he'll eat it. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Am I out of line for not cooking dinner for my family anymore?
I don't think you're out of line. I think you should get the girls cooking classes and, like, put them in charge of meals. Enough is enough. Like, or work out a division of labor with your husband while he's in charge of, like, heating stuff up. I don't know. You've sort of put in a tour of duty. Get somebody else.
I'm with you.
I don't want to be the one who says that you need to cook. I really don't, because I don't think that it's necessarily fair. I mean, I know what your schedule's like. You're busy. You're all busy.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, like, I just worry about what this means for the future.
What do you
mean? We're setting the precedent here, all right? If you're not cooking now, What happens next? All right. What are we getting rid of that we don't want to do next time?
Like what?
I don't know. Picking kids up when they need a ride. How about that one? You know what? I'm not picking you up today.
You got to call an Uber now. Mommy's no longer your taxi.
You're at soccer practice. Guess what? I didn't take you there.
That's different. I would never do that for my kids. Maybe my husband, I'd leave him at soccer practice.
I didn't drive you there. How'd you get there? It's on you to get back here.
All right. I think that people agreed with me that I don't have to do it anymore, right? I'm going to give them one more option tonight. Let's see how it goes.
Okay.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Dana and Alex. Dana, let's start with you. What's going on?
Okay, so my husband got fired from his job. He's a mechanic, and he worked at this garage, and, like, they had no microwave, they had no coffee maker, they had no toaster, right? So he buys them about a year and a half ago and brought them in there, and then he got fired now, so I just think he should have just taken it with him when he left. Like, why? And he forgot, or I don't know what happened there or whatever. It was too shocking. But he should have brought it home. And now we don't have those things. They belong to him. I think he should walk back in there and go get them.
Wait a minute. Alex, tell me what happened here.
Well, here's the thing. So I've been working there for like 6 years, and it's true. Like, we had nothing in like our kitchen, no coffee maker or anything like that. So then I was like, you know what? I'm going to bring all these things in. So I bought the coffee maker, the toaster, and the microwave for this kitchen. Well, now I've been let go, and I've already left. I don't work there anymore. So how exactly am I just going to go walk back and grab those things? Like, I feel like they're my buddies. They still work there. Just keep it. Just keep it.
Dana, let me ask you.
We paid for them, though.
I mean, I understood. You paid for them. You brought them in there to be used communally or whatever. But, I mean, Dana, obviously, you have a microwave. You have a toaster at home right now. You know, if he goes and grabs these things, it's on principle. It's not over the fact of an actual need. You're not going to put the toaster oven that he's going to, you know, pick up from the mechanic shop back in your kitchen, right?
Well, yeah, it's on principle. But, I mean, why is that bad? They fired him. Like, that's why, like, Take what we paid for.
I mean, you have to see Alex's point. If he feels embarrassed and he still has friends there, like, what? How are you going to go back there and be like, I'm taking the coffee maker?
I mean, it was a nice coffee maker. It was a nice coffee maker. You might as well.
All right. And Alex, you're very much against just sending your boss, your ex-boss, an email saying, hey, I'd like to swing by to pick up my contributions to the break room.
I mean, my thought is, like, what's done is done. And ultimately, the people using those things are my friends. Management's not using it. Owner's not using it. It's the dudes I work with. And you know what? They deserve a cup of coffee in the morning.
Why'd you get fired?
What it's like to work there.
But, well, I mean, I'm just curious. Like, why did you get let go? Is it bad terms?
I wouldn't say it was bad terms, but, you know, let's just say it was time for me to go. We all kind of agreed on that. Let's put it there.
Yeah, I mean, it's never good when you're unemployed. One day you're employed, the next day you're not employed. Alex, one more thing for me. You've picked up your tools. Your tools are already out.
Yeah, like, I got my tools, but keep the kitchen stuff.
Just not the toaster. The tools, yes. The toaster, no.
Those tools are worth big bucks.
All right.
Let's
see what the audience has to say, because they may agree with you, Alex. Like, it was your job. You don't feel comfortable going back to take it. You don't care about taking the loss and the three small appliances. But they may see Dana's point, too, where, out of principle, those are things that you paid for to have access to. They belong to you. You should go take them back.
Yeah, so they really feel his absence. 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Alex lost his job. He's a mechanic, worked at a garage. Now his wife Dana is not happy about the fact that when he left that day, he didn't go into the kitchen and take his microwave, the toaster, and the coffee maker that he had put in there and bought a year and a half ago. She wants him to go back and get it.
You know, to be fair, Dana doesn't sound really mad at Alex. She's mad about the situation, right?
Of course
she is.
You
know
how
it is. Your partner loses their job, and you're mad for them, and you want to strike back at them and do it. But, you know, sometimes when we strike back, when it's something smaller like this, it actually ends up looking more embarrassing than it would be if you just kind of, you know, it went off to the wayside. Sell them things less embarrassing, Anna, than losing your job and then having to go back in for your items.
Well, right. But that's what Alex says. Exactly. But Dana says, we paid for all these things. There are things. Like, why wouldn't you take them when you left? Go get them. What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court.
I see both sides, but I'm on the husband's side. Because he bought it, it was a gift. He wasn't told he had to buy it. He, you know,
can use it for a year and a half. The value is down anyway. I don't know.
Right. The value has fallen off his microwave. All right. The value has fallen off his coffee machine. He's not going to be able to resell these things on Marketplace for a good markup. Just let it go.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. Alex got let go from his job. He was a mechanic at a garage. Now, about a year and a half ago, they had a kitchen with no appliances in it at his job. So he bought a coffee maker, a microwave, and a toaster that he and the guys that work in the shop used to all use.
Yeah, sounds like Alex really loves breakfast. Here's the thing. Now that he lost his job, he's got his tools out of there. He's back home. He's looking for another gig. But Dana says, you got to go back there and get those items that we bought. It's the principle of it. It's not that she wants them in their house. It's just that she doesn't want anybody else to enjoy them ever again.
It's spite. I mean, she has a point. They're his. He has every right to them. What do you think? Would you go back to get them? 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? Couples Court.
Oh, Alex, definitely. To ask him to go back and pick those things up, that's awful. His side completely.
Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm on the husband's side. I think no matter how you left a job, don't burn bridges.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, if something belongs to you, it belongs to you. But...
I mean, if it was kind of mutually exclusive, how they just kind of like left the job and it was time for him, then that could potentially still be a reference. And if you get catty and go in and take a coffee maker, that might affect it, even though it's technically not supposed to affect it.
I mean, wouldn't everybody talk smack about you? Like, if somebody like didn't work here anymore,
yeah,
and they showed up and cleared out our
kitchen. It sounds really petty.
Like, we would say something. We would laugh about it. We'd be like, oh, my gosh, they came back for the microwave.
I guess you're right.
Yeah.
Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
Hey, I'm on Adam's side because, number one, I feel like it would be an embarrassment for him to have to go back there, even after being let go off the job and go back to fix that stuff up. But I also feel like he did it out of the goodness of his heart, and it wasn't his buddies that fired him. It was, you know, the supervisor. So they shouldn't have to pay for it. And he feels comfortable leaving it. He should just leave it.
For me, I just don't want extra junk. Like, it's, you know what I mean? I just leave it there.
Like, you're not going to put that in your kitchen after it's been gross and dirty and sitting in the company kitchen.
No, that's true.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Alex, our audience agreed with you. Dana, if he doesn't want to do it, you can't make him. Just, you know, it's a loss. You're never getting back these appliances. You can move on with your life. Plus, they're like a year and a half old now, 2 years. You know, who wants them anyway?
They're going to be covered in oil.
Yeah, no. I don't want to clean them. I don't want to clean them. It's okay. But I just, it's the principle of the thing. I'm just mad about it.
Clearly.
I get it. I get it. And you know what? And ultimately, you're looking out for me, and that's why I love you.
If the access was available to the coffee machine from the direct store, like in the gas station where you're doing this work, Dana would have already been in there and broken it.
Definitely.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, for sure.
It slipped
for sure.
Off the counter.
If you have a problem, too, send an email. CouplesCourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $3,500 thanks to DoorDash. Imagine a world where one app can deliver meals, groceries, convenience items, and more. Use DoorDash.com or download the app and use promo code ORDERNOW50 for 50% off your next order. Get more from your neighborhood with DoorDash. All right, Donna, you're up. Ready to play?
I am.
Please ask Raven to leave the room.
Raven, please leave the room.
Sure. Good luck, Donna.
All right.
Thank you.
$3,500 on the line. Raven's walking out of here. When that door closes, he can't hear us. This room is soundproof. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring him back in, ask him the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ready to go?
Okay.
Number one, Amy Schumer is one of the 3 female hosts at the Oscars this weekend. What was the name of the book she released in 2016? And it was very similarly named to the novel-turned-movie The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
It's the girl with the lower back tattoo.
Number 2, Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher have reportedly raised over $30 million to help Ukraine. They met on the set of what TV show where they both starred?
That 70s show.
Number 3, William Shatner is celebrating his 91st birthday. He was the spokesperson for what company for more than 20 years?
Oh.
Time's up. Number 4, Brooklyn Nine-Nine Stephanie Beatrice recorded one of her songs in Encanto while she was in labor. She didn't want to tell the Disney executives because she thought they would freak out. What was the name of the character that played the grandmother in Encanto?
Mila. I have no idea.
And number 5, American Song Contest debuted, which is the American version of Eurovision. What Italian rock band won Eurovision in 2021 and then had an American cover song top the Billboard charts?
No, sorry, don't know it.
All right, Donna, let me bring Raven back in.
Yo.
Okay, Donna only got 2 out of 5.
Not too good, Donna. $3,500. Here
I
we go.
Know.
Number one, Amy Schumer is one of the 3 female hosts at the Oscars this weekend. What was the name of the book she released in 2016, which is very similarly named to the novel-turned-movie The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo?
It's The Girl with the Lower Back Tattoo.
Yes. Number two, Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher have reportedly raised over $30 million to help Ukraine. They met on the set of what TV show where they both starred?
That's easy. That 70s show.
You guys are tied. Number three, William Shatner is celebrating his 91st birthday. He was a spokesperson for what company for more than 20 years?
Priceline, right?
Yep. Number four, Brooklyn Nine-Nine Stephanie Beatrice recorded one of her songs in Encanto while she was in labor. She didn't want to tell the Disney executives because she thought they would freak out.
What?
She ended up delivering the baby the next day. What was the name of the character that played the grandmother in Encanto?
Oh, this is a blind spot for me. You know, I haven't seen it. I have no idea. Grandma.
Alma. Alma Madrigal. I would have also accepted Abuela. Number five, American Song Contest debuted, which is the American version of Eurovision. What Italian rock band won Eurovision in 2021 and then had an American cover song top the Billboard charts?
It's got to be Maneskin or Maneskin or whatever, however you say it.
Yeah,
love Maneskin. Those guys.
Yeah, they came out with that song Begging. Begging you.
Begging. I mean, I thought it was ridiculous the first time I heard it. I think it might be the best vocal performance of the year.
Yeah. All right. I'm sorry, Donna. He beat you 4-2. That gets you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
Okay. I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. $3,600 tomorrow, Anna.
Yep. And thank you to Michael, Santi, and Maddie. They all submitted questions that I used today. You have an idea for a question, too? Submit it at annaandraven.com.